Hello, everyone, and welcome to something still doing a little bit different. This is Coffee Table Talk.
Oh, I thought that was the name of it. Something different, something a little different.
No, that's seriously the name. It's called Coffee Table Talk.
Coffee Table Talk, all right.
Or Coffee's Table Talk, if you want me to be more specific.
Nice.
With me today, I have my co-host, Toast Me Boy.
What is up?
And our special guest today is Cody, who is known as Stygius in our campaign.
What's up, everybody? Wrong accent. Good evening, everyone.
There it is. There it is. Oh, shit. I'm about to spill stuff. I better be careful out here. So what we do is we're going to talk here for an hour. We're going to ask you a bunch of questions. You can ask us questions back. I mean, they're not really questions. We're going to bring up topic ideas, and we're all going to chit-chat and talk.
Sounds good. Bring it on.
Bring it on?
Hit me with your best shot.
Bring the heat.
Fire
bring the
away.
Heat. Bring the heat.
Yeah.
Yes, chef.
So, first footnote. Cody.
Yeah?
What got you into D&D?
Oh, man. All right. So, it was in college. I went to an engineering school. So, just think of a college full of nerds. So, it's fantastic.
A college full of nerds.
Yeah. It was the best spot to learn that there are better board games out there than Monopoly and Sorry and Connect Four. That's not a board game, but
all great, by the way. All great.
Yeah, all great. They're great in their own ways. But I started playing some board games with some friends that would meet up, and I found that there's some more complicated stuff out there that's a lot more enjoyable. And then one day I got asked to play Dungeons and Dragons, and never played before. Joined up and ended up loving it. So I really enjoyed the freedom that you had to act out your character, and there's a lack of rules that's really exciting about D&D. That's what I like about it.
The chaos.
Yeah. Theater of the mind and all that, and I just have a lot of fun with it.
I mean, it's probably a little more entertaining than my story is. I mean, I literally started because a bunch of kids I was going to high school with wanted to play D&D, and I was sacrificed to be the DM and just said,
well, there's
fucking
always
got to
be at least one.
Fucking learn it.
Yep. How about you, Toast? Well, you're pretty new.
Yeah, so the first time I ever played D&D was with an old coworker at a burger restaurant I was working at. Mm-hmm. And he brought up the idea one time at a shift, and I was like, I don't know, man. I've never played. I've never really taken too much interest into that.
Yeah.
I've always been big into, like, video games and, like, RPGs. Like, I think I was more into D&D than I thought I was. Mm-hmm. Because there's games that, like, I've gone back to games since I started playing D&D and been like, holy shit, this is like bar for bar. Like,
that's a great thing, actually. No, I've done the very same, like going back to RPGs like Skyrim or Fallout. Yeah. You know, and actually putting some flavor onto your character as you play the game, it's super fun. Yeah. Makes me feel like, in a way, we've been playing video games all wrong sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I 100%
feel that. Taking it face value more than the deeper meaning.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't agree more.
I know.
Pardon me. I got a cold, too. So.
No, you're good. But, like, truly, one of the biggest eye-opening games. I don't know. Toast, have you played Baldur's Gate 3?
I have not, but I was very interested when it came out, and then I honestly have just never thought about it again.
I'll tell you right now, if you do, you will play that game for at least a year. I did. I played for me and Demry both played for a solid year. We just played Baldur's Gate. We completed about four or five campaigns.
Hell yeah.
because it's you know, talking about D&D wise, and that was right around the time that was right after the time that we ended our little group that we had with you, Stygius, you know, with when Elena and Ben kind of just went poof, disappeared. We were still trying to be consistent, but they weren't able to make the time. And then you, of course, I left there, and then you went off to in La La Land, where you are now.
Yeah, I love in La La Land.
In the ethereal realm.
Yeah. It's very spooky here. Yeah.
But I was really excited.
Coming through the walls.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I was really excited, though, to bring you into this, truly. When I was looking for players for this, you know, I was like, huh, who do I get? You know, I have my one buddy, you know, the actual hunter, not Toast Hunter here. He said he wanted to play. I was like, okay, well, there's one. Now I got to find the rest of these. I got Demry. That's two. Okay. I found you. And Demry brought up the idea. Well, why don't you just text Cody? I was like, why the fuck did I didn't think of that? What the hell's wrong with me?
Yeah. Thanks, Demry.
What the hell's wrong with me? Yeah. You can thank her for that.
No, I really appreciate the invite. I was actually just on the verge of wanting to get back into D&D. Just so happened got contacted by you. Yeah, it's good. I feel like keeping a steady flow of that is nice. I would like to see a campaign come to fruition. I've only done that a couple times in all the times that I've played. And it's really nice when it does happen.
That's what we're hoping for. That is what we are hoping for. I mean, we are recording it and it's not scripted. So it's all just whatever fucking happens. It's whatever I throw at you guys and however you guys deal with it. Truly.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. So here's to fingers crossed and knocking on wood here. So
yes. Yes.
I have no fingers or wood.
I'm very sorry. That was a poor taste on my behalf.
I think the Phantom took his fingers.
I didn't know I was also in the ethereal realm.
No, they sometimes stretch through planes. It's a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
What about my hand wraps, brother?
Oh, yeah. The ones that give you schizophrenia?
I should have been. What?
What
about my hand wraps, brother?
It's taking physical effect on him.
It's affecting my day-to-day life.
Cody, when did you start DMing?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. That was probably about 2017. 2016, 2017. I started off trying it wasn't even D&D, it was some Fallout D&D game. And I started playing with some fraternity brothers that I had, and it didn't go well. The group that I got, I don't know, they took it a totally different direction, and I don't know, it was interesting. I find that you got to find the right group based on the type of campaign that you're wanting to run, or the opposite. You build it based off of the individuals that want to play. And so this one, I built this. They were starting in essentially this labyrinth in the Fallout universe to get out of. So it was really restrictive. So you're going through the maze and the alleyways and stuff. And then there's suddenly a creature hunting them. But it turns out it's one of the characters. They wanted to play a Deathclaw. So it just, I don't know. It was very weird. Eventually they got out. But I think that only lasted two sessions. It was really rough.
So my first experience was actually because I mean, other than the few sessions I played with you, I haven't really played as a character. I've DM'd most of the time. And the first session I ever ran, which is funny because I refer this in our prophecy. If when I made the Prophecy of Odysseus campaign, I wanted to bring in a lot of references from my old campaigns, a lot of references from, like, especially your campaign, good old Rick the Raccoon. Yeah. Mad Dogs is what they called themselves, and they were murder hobos, was how it's the best way to describe it. I had built this story around them, and they had just ended up murdering everyone in every village. And I couldn't do anything because as a new DM, I didn't know what to throw at them. And of course, yeah, I did the XP leveling. So murdering an entire town really levels you up pretty fucking quick.
Yeah.
So
I don't doubt it.
You got level 20 people walking through the lands, going to town to town. Someone comes up with a problem. Okay, they go solve the problem, and then they murder everyone in the town because someone gets pissed off. A bar fight starts. They end up burning the whole town down. Normally how it goes.
That's right.
Fuck it. Burn it down. Piss me off.
Yeah, that's truly crazy. How the session started was they all met in the, you know, standard, they all met in the tavern type deal. Bar fight, killed the bartender, several of the bar patrons. Mind you, these guys are all level one. I was rolling poorly, very poorly, for these like these level five NPCs that I had in it, and very poorly. They killed every single fucking person in that bar and then torched it. And then went to the mayor because they saw a note on the post board that the mayor was looking for help. Figured out the mayor was actually a bad guy somehow. That was in my notes further down, but they figured it out. Proceeded to kill the mayor, which then started a riot in town. And then they had to fight the whole town.
Jeez. That sounds intense. And they made it out alive?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well.
Murder hobos.
Murder hobos. True, yeah. Murder hobos.
Wild.
Crazy, crazy ass shit. For someone that doesn't know what they're doing and they see that at the beginning, what the fuck?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Oh,
I've built myself a way to deal with murder hobos.
And how's that?
You throw a monster that the only way that they can kill it, well, kill it in the sense of they have to repent for all of the crimes they committed, in the sense of apologizing to those that they killed, to their families.
But there's no one left to apologize to.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
This was after that. This is what I made afterwards. Or helping each soul fulfill their final wish.
Fair.
Or die to the evil monster.
That's actually one thing I haven't ran into is a murder hobo player yet. Knock on wood. You know, I've had the occasional scuffle and everything break out, but I've heard they're tough to deal with. That and like someone who's extremely focused around the rules of D&D. Like, they're great to reference, but that's all I use them for. It's just a reference.
Yeah, it's all it is a reference. Speaking of that, I had a comment on one of our Instagram clips, and it was talking about 30 damage that Damocles took to the door, from the door.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, normally for that, you know, it'd be a 1d6 and for the damage at the door hitting them, and then like 1d6 for fall damage or something like that. And I said, well, this is homebrew. Anything can happen. And if you wish to really see the context of what happened during that, including the part where the little old man in the shop took his cane and swished the door closed, launching Damocles, feel free to go listen to our podcast and thank you for your comment. We do appreciate it.
That's fair.
Everyone plays differently. It's how it is.
How did Damocles feel about that?
Honestly, like, in the moment, I was getting skanked, and I was not about to let that slide.
Yeah.
And so I let this old man have it, dude. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it just comes back to bite you in the ass, and there's just nothing you can do about that.
See, I find the beauty with D&D is, like, you can actually justify why it was, you know, 30 points of damage. Like, this perhaps this blacksmith just really liked fiddling with his door, you know? I mean, he has a...
There was spikes on it.
Yeah.
There was spikes on the door. I was told that.
Well, that's what Rico said. I didn't hinge, say that. Yeah. I didn't say that, by the way. That was Rico. Rico said, there's spikes. And I'm like, I didn't say anything because I was rolling.
It's canon that there's spikes on the door now. That's in the that's in the lore, and you didn't say no.
Well, yeah. I didn't say no. That's the truth.
Spikes truly, on the door, 34 points.
2d6. 2d6 for the spikes on the door and the door hitting you in the ass, plus the d6 of fall damage because you fell 10 feet. And then plus 1d10 or 2d10 from the old man using telekinesis to slam the door on your ass.
Gotta do what you gotta do. Justified
right there. 30 points of damage. Why do you think what I did? I had so many dice. Why do you think I had so many dice in my hand?
I heard it, bro. I said there is no reason for the door to require that many dice. And I think that's when Rico said there's spikes on it.
Yeah, that's right, Azzy. And I was rolling, I was like, ooh, and I was counting damage. He's like, 300 damage.
The way you said that, that just reminded me of the 500 cigarettes.
500 cigarettes.
Don't smoke kids.
Yeah, don't. And don't drink unless you're over the age of 21.
Yeah, yeah.
Drink responsibly.
You better hide that label, Cam. Hashtag not sponsored.
I see Pokemon is, though, in the background, so that's a good deal.
Yeah, yeah. Just got a Pikachu hanging out on my beanbag.
Yeah.
And then you know what those are.
No.
Yeah, no one knows what those are.
Yeah.
They're just pieces of art. It's artwork on my wall.
Exactly.
Yeah. It is artwork and it's beautiful.
My next real footnote that I have is what are you looking forward to in the campaign, Stygius? As your character, what do you think your character, like, as a player, what are you looking forward to see in your character?
I'm looking forward to him finding his path. You know, I feel like he's been hiding from the world, and I think he's going to do his best to choose to live out his values a little better. Because right now he's focused on keeping his powers hidden and contained and not necessarily using them to their full capacity, but he is looking forward to, or I'm looking forward to him actually gaining a comfortability with using it in the right way, you know?
Because
in a lot of ways, I'm playing a version of myself through Stygius, where, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody in truth, but occasionally if things aren't right or they need to be solved in some ways, it's like I would prefer to do it creatively and collaboratively with people, but occasionally there may be a situation where, you know, you have to take some sort of action, right? And
sometimes Damocles got to smash stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Dream D&D's Team.
Yeah. I think Damocles and Stygius make a pretty good team. I like.
Cam and I were talking about that last episode, actually.
Yeah. Genuinely, yeah. We were actually talking about how, when it comes to brains and bronze equal, like equal playing field, you guys are like the most equal and almost like dream team for that. You know, you got big buff man that punches shit when shit goes sideways, and you got someone that's like, let's think about this logically so we don't die or get ourselves into a really bad situation.
And if I were to say, like, one hang-up that I think I feel like I have with this character is the level of, like, passivity, but honestly, like through pacifism is kind of where he's starting from, right? Is he doesn't want to hurt anybody, and so while he may be okay being adjacent to it in some aspects, I feel like I'm holding the team back in some ways. But I also feel like I'm offering, or Sidious is offering, a slight moral compass to this party as well. but I don't know.
Oh my God. I agree so hard with that, because it's like, if Sidious wasn't there, we would have bombed that cultist. That cultist camp would have been burned to the fucking ground. And like, yeah, don't get me wrong, at like, hindsight is 2020, like, we should have fucking done that, by the way. We should have fucking done that. But like, genuinely, as you were breaking it down, as like, as Stygius, like, not even damn, like me as a person, I was like, oh man, maybe we shouldn't bomb these people. maybe these fake human beings in this fake little town and this fake little world have feelings, and I shouldn't take out my unbridled rage upon them. But then I remember it's a game, and I'm like, Stygius, no.
No, I respect that too, and I think D&D is a great place to explore that level of just like getting to blow shit up, like, you know, without consequence, right? Because it is a game at the end of the day. On the other end, like, have you seen those? They're like memes or descriptions of people playing games, and they're like, "Oh, I play games because my power fantasy is actually helping people." Like, that's how I feel with this character. Is like, oh man, I'm playing a power fantasy of like, if I could actually do some things, but do them like in a, you know,
right,
a nice way or a pacifist way.
Yeah, try to be reasonable and not just go full out and be like, let's strap a bomb to someone and then send them into a camp and then just detonate the bomb.
Yeah. Hey, now that was a fucking phenomenal idea, and they would not have seen that coming. Okay, they were expecting a carriage driver and no bomb. Okay, they were getting a carriage driver and a bomb.
I have no doubt that it would have gone relatively smoothly. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it would have gone straight to plan.
Wasn't it next to a bomb factory?
Yes,
their bombs.
I think it would have blown up a little bit more than just that camp, to be honest.
Well, you know, the camp wasn't right next to the bomb factory, but there was a bomb factory in town. Ooh. And me being a very creative DM, I planned for everything. I had prepared for that option of you guys strapping a bomb to poor Hawk Hook and sending him into that camp.
It could have been rough.
Could have been very rough. Could have been very, very rough.
But that's not how it played out, did it?
Yeah. Nope. You guys did something different, which, you know, and the fun thing about it is there's no right or wrong answer, especially with me, because like, for what I'm writing, there is no right and wrong. Whatever you guys come up with in that episode, whatever goes on, I have to take that and then I work with it because of how I'm structuring this story. I have a final goal. I have what I want to achieve, but truly how you guys get to that goal and how you guys achieve such goal is all through your characters, because I'm focused on you. Your choices matter to what's going on. Because if you guys think about it, your players are in the thick of some unknown shit.
Yep. No, I completely agree with you, Cam, because DMing is a fine balance through all. It's having a storyline, having a thing that is happening. And yeah, you're in control of that, so you can play around with the timing of things. But I do like to keep a real world. So like, despite the players being over here and taking actions, the bad guys over here doing shit as well, like, and reacting to what you're doing. And I think, making the actions of the characters actually have an impact on the world, and then see the repercussions and the ripples of those actions is you know, that makes it just that much more alive in this world, right?
Yeah.
And it's a good butterfly effect.
And it's not story-based, it's character-based. You guys are my story. Yeah. You guys are the driving factor of what is going on. Mm-hmm. Because the camera's following you and following everything that you guys are doing. So there's not just one main character, and that's like another DM, like D&D player stereotype, is the main character, the one that's like, you know, they want to be everywhere at once. And that's like with the rules that I implemented, if you aren't there, you aren't there. I mean, if you weren't in that conversation, you don't know that information. Along with that of cause and effect, you leave something untouched, there's always going to be reaction. Whatever you don't do has a consequence. And whether it be good or bad, it plays out whatever way. So truly, there is no right or wrong answer for anything that goes on. There is what you guys are taking piece by piece, trying to piece what the fuck is going on together. Why these gods want this book, why these gods are doing these things, and you guys are just taking it one section at a time because that's all you can do.
Yep, that's exactly right. How about you, Toast? Have you ever done DMing or ever considered that?
I have never done it, and I have never considered it. That initial moment of that my coworker at the burger restaurant, like, that was my first time ever playing. This is only my second campaign ever. Yeah. And so far, I mean, I'm loving it. I'm having a great time. Significantly more fun than my first time. And don't get me wrong. It's not like I wasn't having fun the first time. We did, like, it was like actual tabletop. We all met up at my house. He was like drawing out maps and stuff like that. It was cool. You know what I mean? The idea of it was really cool, but I just don't think I connected with those people very well. They were not necessarily because they were like so different from me, but I think it was the mentality of the people that I was with. They were like, well, I want to play D&D because D&D is my fucking life. And I'm like, I'm trying something new and I want to fuck around. And they just didn't vibe with that as much as I would have liked. Yeah. And then I never thought about it again. You know what I mean? I never thought about Dungeons & Dragons again until Cam called one of our mutual friends who I was hanging out with, and then, you know, eventually redirected to me, and I said yeah. And so I guess I was like, you know, I'd be interested in giving it a shot, you know what I mean? I just don't know. I feel like I'd be very much in Cam's shoes and get stuck with some fucking murder hobos, you know what I mean? I just not know what to do about it.
And see, but that's yeah. The thing, though, is, you know, being a player before you're a DM, honestly, being player and then going to DM, you understand the mentality of a player, and that makes you understand certain things like being a murder hobo, or it gives sometimes you what I you want a in a hobo. Story. It's true. Everyone does. Trust me. Stygius, there was several.
Ready to murder Cody. Hobo that fucking blacksmith.
That poor old man that was in the general store.
That poor old man would have fucked me up, though. I have a feeling. He's some like level 900 wizard or something, bro.
Like, Cody knows truly that, like, I mean, there was times even in the campaign that he ran that I just wanted to kill shit. Like, there was a genuine, like, yeah. I just want to murder everything. But the one thing that I did is, like, there are times for when you just want to go nuts and fuck shit up and murder shit. There are times for that. And there's also times for you to be like, okay, what do I want out of this character? What is my true end goal? What am I trying to build? And as a player, you learn, okay, this is what I want to build. And then when you bring that into DMing, you're able to filter out the players that aren't going to take that shit seriously and are just going to be murder hobos, for example. You can filter out those who are just looking to play this game just because it's their power fantasy to take over your shit, derail you, torture you in your own creation.
And that's something that I've started to do when I run campaigns now, is I like to have several pre-sessions to actually talk with my players or potential players and see, you know, what they want to get out of it, right? Whether that's specific types of storylines or Is it just a power fantasy, or is it just a murder hobo sesh? You know, like, what do you all want to get out of it? Because at the end of the day, what the goal is, at least for me as a DM, is to for everybody to have fun, you know? And if the players aren't having fun, then why the hell are we there, you know? So those pre-planning, that really comes in handy, just to gain a sense of, okay, maybe this person wouldn't be right for this group or this campaign, but hey, maybe another one, you know, and keep them in your back pocket if you ever want to run and have fun with different groups. So, yeah.
I mean, I did that with each one of you, truly. I called you guys, described what I wanted, and I said, you know, if you really want to join, like, let's either make a character, let's discuss what you want to do. I remember talking to Sigius several times before we got the rest of the group together. I remember talking to you, Cody. I remember I called you like two or three times, like, hey, you know, what are we thinking? We discussed what you wanted out of this. And truly, I'm even more excited than you are to really see where this character goes, especially with what we have built into this. I mean, your whole entire class, subclass, whatever we're going to call it, is something that is completely brand new.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked the build that you let me do, honestly. Yeah. We got to do a homebrew of a rune wizard, and I thought that was really, really fun. Can I share with y'all one thing that I wish I had gotten to do on one of these sessions?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So it was when we fought the Black Dragon, right? Sidious was prepping his stone, another one of the stones with the chromatic orb. And I had just previously, we just leveled up. I just got a new spell, and it was a rune that I wanted to carve into my boots, which allows me to walk on water. But it's not just walking on water. It's walk on any liquid. So no joke, in my head, I was planning on finishing this thing. And then the next time the dragon was going to spew, I was going to run on the fucking stream and like throw it in his face. But the timing was just off. Like, the dragon that spewed me and like demolished the majority of my health before I could even move. And I'm like, fuck, if only I rolled a better initiative.
That would have been so fucking cool. And you know, I was bummed.
Crazy.
I was bummed because you said you were preparing something, and I knew you had those water walk boots that you just finished. And I hit you at the worst time because what I was truly, I was trying to hit you. I was trying to hit Quill mainly with all of it. That Quill's, Demry's character is fucking nuts. Like, that thing is the hardest thing for me to even try to get down.
Yep.
So I was truly trying to hit that. She rolled a good dexterity roll, took half damage, and you just happened to be within the area and took the brunt of it all.
It happens.
You should have said, "Can I do something real quick?" You know, if you would have succeeded, just
please,
lay on
please,
the ground
please,
and
wait,
point your feet
wait,
at it,
do
so it does
something.
This and cones around you.
Yeah, can I just stick my feet up and just, like, it's my shield because it just repels the water.
Repels the acid.
All that was left of Stygius, just shoes.
Just shoes.
Yeah.
Just the boots.
Yeah, that it was sad, but you know what? Sometimes the rolls just don't happen. So, you know, the initiative was off, and hey.
I know, you guys killed that thing so fast. I was at least happy that I got the dragon breath off.
That was the first dragon I ever encountered in as a player, and I was blown away at how quickly the team just demolished.
Yeah,
I didn't
like,
do shit.
Yeah. Me as a DM, I'm like, what the fuck, man? This is supposed to be a deadly fight. It says on D&D Beyond, this is a deadly encounter. You fuckers did it. I'm just gonna have to throw harder shit at you. I even gave it an extra 200 health, by the way. I gave it an extra 200 health. And that fucking thing still died that quick.
Well, Demry and my character are just physical powerhouses. You know what I mean? Like every hit that either one of us is dishing out is multiple dice for damage, or multiple hits with multiple dice for damage. And then I can, at any point I want, I can throw another dice on that with a fires burn. It's, I really do like the character that Cam set me up with as like my first like actual character to play with. I will say, as the game is like going on and I'm like learning more, I am starting to get a little underwhelmed with just punching stuff. Like, at this moment, I wish I would have, I don't know, gone for like a little bit more intelligence. but I mean, being a big dumb guy who smashes stuff it was the perfect introduction. And Cam and I have a plan to bring myself at a certain point into a new light with a little more pizzazz and something that I can reintroduce myself into it with and learn a more advanced way to play. Oh no, reconnect.
That face is great.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No, I.
Oh no.
You know.
Sorry.
Just for the purpose of the podcast, not good. Keep going in the situation, good. Or is this where
that didn't fix it.
We're gonna keep going. I mean, it's part of it. Truly.
Solid.
Hello.
It happens. It's technology at its finest.
Well, continue off that point, I think then that's a great starting point. You know, that's where I started too. You start with what you know, right? Which is, oh, I have big stick. I hit things with big stick, you know? And at the end of the day, it makes for a fun character. And you can work on building in that complexity as you go, you know, depending on how you want to with your DMs. Permission, of course, and all that. So,
yes, I've returned. I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, I've
all of a sudden you guys went black
as well.
And I said, "Hello."
For my first playthroughs,
is anybody out there? And I was nothing.
You just want to kind of play around with the rule sets, and see what things can do.
Yeah, and
get creative with it.
One of the cool things is, you know, this is just me and you right now as he's disconnecting and reconnecting. When he said he wanted to join, I sat down with him and we had an hour discussion of, you know, truly, what do you want out of this character? I described all of the classes to him. I described all of the subclasses. And when I found Monk and I found Drunken Master and I brought it up to him, he fucking lit up like a goddamn Christmas tree. He was like, yes, let's fucking do this shit.
Let's do it. Speaking of which, he's back on.
I know, he's back.
Oh, welcome I would back. Need to do a lot of research into what like I would want to do for a new campaign.
It happens.
I don't even know. Probably some sort of like elemental
just
mage
crickets.
Type.
Literal. Hold on. Wait.
You know what I mean? some fire, some ice, some lightning in there.
Just like
you know
that.
What I'm saying? Really.
Literal crickets.
Really play with the idea of fucking with shit. You know what I mean?
We were just talking about how that's usually how people start off, honestly,
like
in a lot of Dungeons and Dragons.
All I really
but,
know of what
yeah, eventually you kind of get an understanding of the rule set and you want
to
start
and
playing with it, you know,
and
seeing
like that,
what you can do.
Out of curiosity,
you know,
about
if you were
like
to
that when Cam
join another campaign, what
me,
would be something you'd be interested in trying?
I feel like I would have been so much more overwhelmed with trying to keep up with, like, I don't know. I feel like there's some kind of, spells first and foremost. And then, like, I feel like there's some kind of cooldown, like, mana bar, you know what I mean? Like, something that drains from that or something that I would just forget about. I couldn't tell you. I punch stuff for fun, so.
Yeah. The elements of creation.
spells.
Yeah.
Spell slots.
No. Okay. Skyrim magic.
Cody would know, because actually you have a different, I don't remember exactly how we designed your system, but I do remember is it your spell slot usage off of the times of activation? Is that how we did it?
Well, it was like one spell slot equals two charges, or I think.
Yeah.
Is what we landed on. The purpose being, because like, so first of all, let's rewind here. I love the idea of magic, but when I first started D&D, I didn't know or understand how it worked. You know, it didn't make sense in my head. It's a very soft magic rule system, if you're familiar with that terminology. Just like, oh, I have this spell and I shoot magic out of my hands, you know? It's like Harry Potter. Yeah, Skyrim. Or Harry Potter, you know, I say the words, I wave my wand, and that's how magic happens. But then I read a book series that I got back into and made me think about Stygius as a character. And it's The Dresden Files, which is about a wizard in Chicago. And the book series is pretty fun. He's just like solving... It's got kind of a noir feel. He's an investigator, you know, and all that. But the system that he plays around with is called it's a hard magic system. So he's got, you know, magic is a form of will, right? It's your will manifesting in a magical way. And you have tools that can direct it, and there's always a sacrifice. There's something that you're taking in order to produce something. And I wanted to incorporate that into a character. So as opposed to the rule of like, oh, I get a spell and now I can cast the spell. It added more ritual to it. I have to add the spell to the object, and I have to carve it in there and have this little ceremony that I'm doing. And you'll notice that, or those listening, you know, we'll notice that I'm trying to do my best to describe what that magic entails. Because even in D&D, it does explain that, right? Like, you have different ingredients and things that you have to do in order to... Like, there's a vocal aspect, there's a somatic, so your movement, and then there's a material sometimes, so...
Right, and you know, that's the weird thing about D&D, is it both has a soft and hard magic system, depending on how you play it.
Yeah.
And that's where homebrew comes in. You know, I mean... For you, you wanted to give yourself like more of, you know, you talked about the will form, and I was really excited about that because it requires materials, but the materials that I think we did is whatever you're carving it on. You have the ability to, you know the spell, and learning the spell gives you the ability to carve it, but the material and the material you use, the better quality, the better it's going to be.
Yeah, it adds some more layers to it. That was another thing I remember. We talked about is specifically the material, and we actually got a bit of that in the last episode too, where it's you know, potentially carving into your skin or bone, and you know, the strangeness that comes with that. So, yeah,
poor Rico, poor Rico. You rolled that too, and I was like.
I'm super excited to see how it turns out. I'm peeved by all get up.
I'm pissed off that your shit didn't work, but
that's part of what makes it all fun too. So I'm definitely excited to see how this plays out.
It's gonna be great. Gonna be great. I'm excited for it. I'm pretty sure he's forgotten it by now, so that way when he goes to use it, it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be awesome.
Will be a surprise to be sure.
Yeah, there's more than one thing on there. Like I told you, I had to roll three things for that.
Jesus. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
No, I like adding that randomness in it all as well. It makes it fun.
Well, it makes it feel like, you know, when you're fucking with a magic, already previous magic item, and you're adding something to it, you know, you've done a lot of, like, your character would know 100%, but adding that little bit of chaos, adding that little bit of randomness that, you know, if it goes wrong, something funny is going to happen with it. It just makes it that much more entertaining because you're like, oh, yeah. I did this perfectly, you know? Your character's like, this is a great rune. This is going to work perfect for you, Rico.
Yeah, I like to incorporate... Oh, wait, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, we can hear you.
Cool, sorry. I like to do a bit of homebrew in terms of that, where magic is volatile. Like in my campaigns that I run, I like to make magic a little more volatile, a little more... random and sporadic. Like it just adds a little more flair and danger to it as well, because it's this power that's out there that you know, isn't unknown in our world, but yet in D&D it's kind of fun to play around with.
and it's like, you know, you watch some of these campaigns or you listen to them and you know, like, magic's very fluid, you know, people can be very fluid with magic. I like having, you know, magic can be consistent, but in our world, there isn't a whole lot of
nobody fought
magic
them.
In the sense of mage type people.
Nobody.
There's guild mages, which are just simple people that know how to mend and work for
in a
certain
tree
parties
somewhere
and have very simple spells, but there's not a populace of them.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. I've had my eyes peeled and like, I've been casting or activating detect magic quite a lot in a lot of these fights. And so far we haven't faced a single magic user other than myself. And it's been interesting.
No. And the magic users that you do face, I mean, they're more divine in their sense. I mean, you did face one, the one guy at the ambush that was a mage.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But he was still in like acolyte type clothing.
And I should say, Stygius did not fight him.
Yeah, no, fight. Stygius was...
he was...
Quill ripped their fucking head off.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Quill ripped their fucking head off. That's what happened. While Stygius was like, what the fuck is sucking people? He's sucking... Watching people get sucked into the abyss by a little black figure.
Well, I thought it was dangerous, and it was. It wasn't dangerous to us.
Well, it was. It did kill Rico. Oh, he did kill Rico in great swift movement too. So, you know, a lot of people don't know the whole history behind Rick the Raccoon. Would you like to tell, you know, the history of Rick?
Sure. Yeah. It's been a while since we had it, but Rick the Raccoon was Cam's character in my campaign. So that means that canonically, this is in the same world that, or unless Rick somehow made his way to another world, which hey, that could be as well. but yeah, Rick the Raccoon. If I recall, is he a rogue?
Rogue. Yep.
Rogue. Yep. Yep. And he's based around essentially Guardians of the Galaxy.
Rocket.
So he's kind of the D&D version of him, where he was made by an evil sorcerer, experimented on, so he's one of a kind in a way, and he's been exploring the world and trying to find a bit of revenge on this guy. And he actually got a bit. He actually met the fella that created him in the campaign that we had. I don't think you got to fight him.
No, we were going to because you were trying to take the Minotaur that was in our group.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And you all did end up blinding his
we ripped out both of her eyes, I think is what it was.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
Yeah, we took out both of her eyeballs.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Rick the Raccoon was he's a fun character.
Yeah.
I liked, he did not like this this gnome that was meant to be a helpful character. That's for sure. It created a lot
hated,
of.
I fucking hated that gnome. I don't know why. I don't know why, but when you brought that gnome in, I knew instantly as a character, Rick was going to kill him in any way, shape, or form that he could.
Yeah, that's funny.
So what I'll get, and I'll give a little more detail on how, you know, Rick, this is just a little sneak peek, you know, but Rick made it out of there. He made it out. And you guys will hopefully maybe meet Rick again and you might get to hear the full story, but he did make it out of your world. How? Who knows?
Guess we'll have to find out.
Guess you have to find out.
Yeah.
Oh, and, you know, good old hook and sinker. Cody knows that. That was a custom weapon that I had been making for him.
Yeah. Yeah. We, so Cam and I used to work together, and we were talking about this weapon that he wanted to build eventually with his character, and we were basing it on the phrase hook, line, and sinker. So you're... essentially a battle fishing rod of sorts.
Yeah, it was a sickle and a dagger connected to each other with a very stretchy vine, I think, or something. It was like that. And it was so you could throw the hook out and pull people towards you and then stab them with the, I think, what did I say? Like the ultra weight dagger that would like drop them to the ground if they failed like a strength save. Like
me being a new player, you know what I mean?
And cause them to be prone.
I'm very interested in
advantage.
How you came up with that and what exactly, like where his,
for rogues, his advantage is everything.
Business comes from. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't seem like, kind of like how you guys were talking. Like,
I remember you very angrily getting
magic.
Angry,
you know what I mean? Like
it's not like
he casts a spell.
Have a fight,
you know,
and just hide.
Like
and
this
then
is
stab
something
and then
that
hide
he's
and stab.
Definitely taken the time to learn, and I just imagine
it's the rogue
it's
method, and we've seen it in Rico.
Backstory.
Yeah. Welcome to Rogues. That's the truth.
At first, I was like peaking interest in Quill.
Go ahead. No, sorry.
Because I was like, Wendigo, all the way. That bitch
is there anything else?
Is fucking evil, okay? And I don't fuck with it.
Any other points that want to be brought up?
Yeah.
I'm still stuck on the Wendigo theory, dude.
Yeah. She's a cool character.
That's also a custom character. That is all also a custom subclass that I spent 5 days working on.
Dang.
Between me and Demery, we spent 5 days building that.
Yeah, I've been slowly trying to figure it out, but I still don't know. I don't want to know. I want to find out through the campaign.
Yeah.
But,
oh, you guys will. I cannot give anything.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one. Some kind of curse along with it. Yeah, I like it. No, I in terms of making Stygius, it came from two directions. So one was I was getting back into that Dresden Files, and I'd never played a magic character, and I wanted to try that out. And I wanted to play around with this hard magic system and maybe make my own if Cam was willing, and he was. So I went from that angle, but then once I got confirmation, I could work within the rules of D&D. Cause that was the limiting factor there. It was like, I had to make sure with our DM, once got permission with that, then it was a matter of like, what themes do I want to explore around the character? And so, so in truth, my favorite role in Dungeons and Dragons is DMing, because I really love writing. I like the story of it and making it fun for the characters. So when I play, I tend to put a lot of time into the backstory, into what this character, where he came from, and or she, you know, whoever it may be.
Right.
And I wanted to explore some themes that, right, I'm actually going through in my own life, which is a bit of this living through values and trying to come up with creative solutions rather than, you know, as we talked about earlier, kind of attacking it head on. And that's kind of perfect for a wizard.
You don't,
right,
even know.
A wizard uses their mind to create a creative solution given the tools that they have at hand.
I feel like
sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, yeah, I feel like everybody has something
in these themes that I wanted to explore. I wanted to
kind of like a
find somebody
future thing that is like they have planned.
Give myself another challenge of
like
playing a character that was a pacifist, and why,
how, and when
is the big factor there?
What we're building for. And I personally,
I don't know,
am loving that.
I think
right now
I want to stop there in terms of just
that's,
how much
that's
like
that's a perfect place to stop.
Because you as a character, you are a character in the thing, and I feel like we're slowly unlocking these parts of ourselves, and I'm really liking these little nuggets of information that each of our characters have, and I'm excited to see what you all have, you know, as well, like as your characters' backstories and how they came to be, because it's pretty fun. Yeah, yeah.
you do know.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah,
by the way,
isn't it fun? I love seeing how the characters grow and change.
That, honest to God, that's why I wrote the story the way I did, is because I love character growth in any campaign that I've played.
No one else was saying anything.
Combat's awesome. Combat's great, but watching.
Fuck it, man.
You guys,
fuck it. Yeah,
grow
that's
as characters. Like watching your characters grow and flourish and argue and butt heads and be genuine people, really, like, it brings it to life. It's not just a story. It feels like you're listening to a day in a life of these crazy four motherfuckers called Dank Stank. They reek of alcoholism, desperation, and arrogance. I mean,
and I think that's. That's what name?
The Dank Stank for your guys' team name.
Oh, no. I'm fine with it. Stygius is not. It works though. I mean,
You took initiative. You took initiative.
I don't think you've been taking anything at all.
Yeah,
real leadership skills.
You roll with it.
That's the other thing. I don't know who's the true leader of this group, because I don't think there is one. I think everyone has a path that you're trying to drive, and whoever the path is focused on kind of takes the reins.
Yeah. And that's something too with DMing. It's kind of tough. I've experienced something in the past where it's like I have a very experienced player and they tend to know the rule sets better and what you can get away with, right? And so they go and do their thing. And sometimes that can be beneficial and sometimes not, in terms of if they're conscious of the other players.
Stygius is the one thing preventing us all from becoming.
And on that end, I hope that I haven't been taking too much.
No. Truly, Cody, you've been playing the most. I'm just like watching you play your character and knowing, because I know everything. I'm the one that does know everything about every single one of your characters and everything that's planned. you are playing so honest to your character.
Well, he's the only one who knows stuff that's not murder.
It's great. It is truly great to watch because I know what your character is, and that pacifism and how it just gets in the group, and it's just like, you're like, calm down, everyone. Let's do this in a very diplomatic manner. And everyone's like, we just want to kill them. The parasites, they're telling me to murder.
Sometimes.
He's the one thing, I truly think Stygius is not only the one thing keeping you guys from being murder hobos, but he's also the one piece of the puzzle that you guys are like, what do we do? Because when shit hits the fan, the one person that knows, they always look to you, Stygius. They always look to you. What the fuck do we do? If we can't kill it, what do we do, Stygius?
I don't know. No, and I'm interested to see how that there you go. Yeah. Which I honestly, he hasn't done much to actually get that. I feel like everybody just has this pressure on him. But
he's just a fucking creep. Yo, and that's another thing too. You know, like Cody, I know you know this, and Damocles, I know you're understanding this too. But like, PC to PC interaction,
upgrades. That's
player character to player character. Out of the game, we're all friends in the end. You know, if your character wants to do some crazy, if your character really wants to kill another character, and that's what your character wants, that's in their goals, that's in their drive somewhere, that can happen. But at the end of the day, we're all friends. So whatever happens in the game is not taken out into real life, because we all understand that this is for the fun of us. So what does happen, happens. Just one finger an episode. What are you going to do when you run out of fingers? A toes. Ooh, I wouldn't touch those.
We got 20 episodes.
Yeah, 20 episodes. And then what? Oh, I don't even want to know what the 21st episode is going to be.
Yep. Upgrades, people. Upgrades.
Any other talking points?
No, I'd say one last thing for any DMs out there. YouTube is a wealth of knowledge. There's some great channels out there to learn tools on how to DM.
Information. Use what we talk about. I mean, this is what this is about. Coffee talk, you know. The heart of this is to bring people like you. I mean, Stygius, you're a player and a DM. This is for people that are players or want to be players or people that want to be DMs, you know. Mm-hmm. We're here to give a wealth of knowledge. And so I'm, you know, you're one of the first DM players that I'm having on. Our next ones, we're hoping to have maybe a couple DMs, maybe a DM and a player from another podcast, you know, give more information.
That would be cool. Because, yeah, it's you know, just as with life, never stop learning, because there's so much, so many different ways that you can interact with this game type, just because of how versatile it is. So have fun with people and make sure that you're having fun too. So, yeah, that's all I got.
And another big thing for me, especially this was truly what helped me like set up this campaign. If you do listen to other D&D podcasts, pay attention to what the DM says, pay attention to how the DM acts, pay attention to the things they ask their players to roll for
sharks,
in specific moments. Pay attention to the damage they're rolling, pay attention to the actions they use, watch multiple podcasts, because it's all to give you an idea of how to DM better. That's what I did. I sat there and listened to I have several different podcasts on my list, and I listen to them in a rotation. And it's to hear those DMs and to hear what they are like, how they tell their story, what actions they do, what they look for in their players, what what dice rolls they make, you know, how do they set up their combats? Because truly the best way to learn is from others, and the true way, and from YouTube. I mean, I've learned a lot from YouTube. I mean, I've even learned a lot from TikTok, for heaven's sakes, or Instagram Reels, whatever you watch, there's always information to find out there.
Yep.
And if you ever have a question.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys, and this is to anyone that's listening, if you guys want, if you guys have questions about DMing, question about being a player, send a message to our Instagram, send a message to comment on one of our clips, one of our episodes in Spotify or on YouTube. I mean, truly, I'm the one that checks everything. I'm the one that's running most of the behind the scenes of this great podcast that we are starting. So if you guys have if you have a question for one of us, ask us. I can always text one of them, ask them what they think, and we can get you an answer. Because this is a community. D&D is meant to be a
Wizards
community
with
of
guns!
People who all enjoy this game.
Dude! That sounds
Thank you, Cam, for all the work that you do on this.
Sick, bro.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is my
Only
dream.
If I can be
truly. I am doing
canonically
what I want to do
Clint Eastwood.
For the rest of my life. If this goes the way I want it to, I want to keep creating this
yes.
content for people. I want to keep having
okay.
my
all
great
right.
friends
well, maybe...
on and have some silly conversations, have a silly campaign. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the other day I got a wild hair up my ass, and I've already thought
Bet.
Of, you know, what happens
Bet.
If...
I got
Prophecy
so much
Odysseus
knowledge
ends early.
In my
I've already thought of another campaign
I'm
idea.
How to do everything
just in case,
wild,
just
wild
a backup.
Woods.
Or if something goes sideways and we have to start another campaign, we can always do that.
Hell yeah.
How does Wizards with Guns sound, huh?
Sounds OP.
Wild West Fantasy? That'd be pretty dope.
I can get down with that. Yeah.
Canonically accurate, grilly. So what? Never miss a shot? Yeah, no, ain't gonna fucking happen.
It sounds like you're gonna be an actor that plays. In
yeah,
movies,
yeah, you're gonna be an actor that plays in Western movies.
If you're playing Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like backwards.
Okay. That could work for a what is it?
Right.
It's the Cthulhu. Call it Cthulhu.
Oh, yeah, Call of yeah, Cthulhu. Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
could be an actor. Yeah.
You totally could. Yeah, that's a hard system. That is a very
that's
rough,
crazy,
rough system.
Yeah.
I've looked into
that's
that.
So wild.
I played a campaign on that. That was pretty fun.
You did?
Yeah. And we all lived, surprisingly.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
That is surprising. That is
right.
truly surprising because,
yeah.
I mean.
Huh.
It's tough.
Yeah. So it's the Call of Cthulhu system. Instead of rolling D20s, you roll D100. So you still roll a D20, but instead of wanting
D&D
a
on survival
20,
mode, bro,
you want a 1. You want to roll the lowest number possible. And instead of skills, like you still have your skills, but they're more specific. So you could have a skill of 55 in cleaning. And as long as you roll on the D100 below 55, you will like, you'll succeed on that skill. To do skill checks, you don't roll a D20, you roll a D100. And it's horror based. It's very much a horror type. It's like real life and horror put together. That's what the Call of Cthulhu system is meant to be.
Yeah, your character is like mental and physical health, so they could actually go insane during
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, you can actually
Absolutely.
Get insanity.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
There isn't a strength. There is a combat feature like D&D on hardcore mode, truly, is what it is. D&D on steroids.
Yeah, we had fun with that. I was a con man.
You were a con man?
Yeah.
there's a podcast out there that's doing a Call of Cthulhu system. You know, and Call of Cthulhu all takes place in what, 1970s, 1960s era, like 1950 to 1970s era.
I think there's different versions that you can play in. Ours was 1920s.
1920s. Yeah, I know it's like a big gap, but it's like older, back when it was older.
But you can run it whenever, honestly.
Like, truly, yeah. You can run it whenever. Well,
guys, yeah, I got to get going here soon, but it was a pleasure chatting with you both.
Yeah, it was great chatting with you. I mean, truly, thank you for all your information. I mean, this is what it's for. You're welcome anytime.
Well, thanks.
So
hope you all have a good rest of your week. And yeah,
I do. Yeah. Well, I want to thank everyone for coming and listening to our dumb shenanigans and listening us. To talk
so long.
For, listening to us talk for an hour or so. We will probably be back with more of this. Hopefully we'll have some fun guests. I'm working on getting some really cool people back, really cool people on this. You'll be back with me and Toast, your beautiful hosts. And another special guest, or maybe two. We'll see. The chicken. Well, catch you all in the next one. Please come back. Please listen to all of our stuff because it really does help us and it keeps us growing and it keeps our dream of building a really big D&D community alive. Thank you all for listening. Catch you all caffeinated bastards on the next one.
Cheers.